Reader's Digest Help Hotline. Hey guys, it's Liv, and welcome back to another Health Hotline episode. If you have not listened to our previous Health Hotline episodes, we are basically answering your important pressing questions. Tatum is taking episodes and topics and questions that are more in her realm, and I am taking some that are more in my realm. We're just doing this because we thought that this would be an easy way to answer your questions, make them super digestible, and really pinpoint certain topics and dive deep into them. So, with that being said, today's episode is the PCOS episode. It is going to be answering the question, I have PCOS or I think I have PCOS, what do I do? This is something that I have been working with my clients way more on. When I initially kind of got into this nutrition field and started my own nutrition practice, I was primarily focused on gut health because that was kind of my biggest issue and just the clients that I attracted. And now that I'm expanding my practice, learning more about hormones, I'm working with a lot of women who have PCOS or have PCOS type symptoms. So wanted to do an episode as I know that this is something that a lot of women are dealing with. In this little mini episode, I'm going to talk about what is PCOS, the biggest drivers, and what to do, aka a little PCOS toolkit. One disclaimer I like to give is, one, I'm not a medical doctor, and two, I am not the biggest world expertise in PCOS. I have a good understanding of it because I work with a lot of clients that have it, and I do a ton of research around it, but always trust your body. If this information resonates with you, take it. If not, that is totally okay. So let's start off by talking about what is PCOS. PCOS is a complex metabolic and hormonal condition that can lead to a ton of unwanted symptoms. And here are some of the common symptoms that women come to me with when they have PCOS. First one is fatigue, very low energy, sleep all night, wake up, still feel very unrested. Irregular periods, whether that's really long cycles or short cycles and you're bleeding all the time. Infertility is a huge one. Weight gain and just difficulty losing weight no matter what you do, anxiety, depression, and different mood disorders, facial or body hair either in excess or in the wrong places like on the chin. Hair thinning is another huge one that I know a lot of women are experiencing right now, their hair falling out or not growing properly. Acne, especially cystic acne, high testosterone levels and high estrogen levels, low libido, and then cysts on ovaries. So PCOS stands for polycystic ovary syndrome. And I think that a lot of people think that to get a PCOS diagnosis, you need to have cysts on your ovaries. That's actually not true because PCOS is a clinical diagnosis. This means it is primarily diagnosed based on having some or all of the classic symptoms I just listed above, aka you don't need to have all these symptoms or cysts on your ovaries to be diagnosed with PCOS. One thing that I want to point out, and this is something we have touched on in previous episodes, is that PCOS syndrome is the last word in this. And we have talked about how syndrome is a classification that has been used when we basically don't really know why you have these symptoms, like what is the root cause of these. So although getting a PCOS diagnosis can be super helpful for clarity of mind, it doesn't actually give you a game plan or a real reason of, hey, this is actually what's going on in your body. So that is just something that I like to point out anytime we're dealing with something that's a syndrome. So not everybody with PCOS has an abnormal hormone test or multiple cysts on their ovaries when an ultrasound is done. You could have PCOS where you are just having extremely heavy periods, facial hair or body hair in the wrong places, acne, and extremely painful periods. That could be a PCOS diagnosis. You could also have cysts on your ovaries and all the classic symptoms. So I just like to point that out because if you resonate with a lot of those symptoms, that doesn't necessarily mean you have PCOS. You could just be swinging towards some PCOS tendencies. Okay, so there basically has been a classification of four different types of PCOS. PCOS that is rooted in insulin resistance, that is the big one we're going to be talking about because that is kind of in my wheelhouse where I can help with nutrition and diet. PCOS rooted in inflammation, post-pill PCOS, aka you come off the pill, hormonal birth control, and develop PCOS, and then something that the medical community has classified as adrenal PCOS. Let's talk about the biggest drivers in PCOS and PCOS type symptoms. The first one, and this is the biggest one and the biggest kind of take home of the episode to learn about, is insulin resistance from blood sugar imbalances, which then lead to a ton of inflammation in our bodies. We are dealing with, one, an obesity epidemic, but two, also a lot of people are coming very insulin resistant because of stress, because of the processed chemical, high refined sugar diet we eat, and just primarily because we do not eat a healthy, whole, real foods diet, and that really impacts our insulin. So what is insulin? When we eat, our blood sugar levels rise. In response to this, and to maintain normal healthy levels in the body, the pancreas releases a hormone called insulin. This essentially ensures that glucose levels or blood sugar levels in the blood are moved into areas like your muscles, your fat, and your liver where they are stored. So, it is a good response and it's normal for our blood sugar to rise when we eat. Our pancreas releases insulin and then it drops back down. That is a completely normal response. We need insulin. We need our blood sugars to rise and drop at a healthy level. But what is insulin resistance? Insulin resistance, and this is going to sound a little sciencey, but I'll explain more at the end, is when a cell stops responding to insulin. This means that the muscles, fat, and liver don't store the glucose and it remains in the bloodstream. In response, the pancreas tries to produce more insulin. This can have a cyclical effect if left unchecked and can eventually lead to permanently raised insulin and glucose levels in the blood as well as a damaged pancreas. That's when we see insulin resistance. A lot of the times when an individual has developed insulin resistance and their blood sugar reaches a certain point, we then get into the diagnoses of things like type 2 diabetes. So that's a little bit of the science of what insulin resistance is. I like to think of it as your body does not know how to have a proper insulin response. So your blood sugar just keeps rising and it isn't able to regulate itself and bring itself down. You can improve your insulin response and your blood sugar by eating a balanced whole food diet. This is a complex issue, insulin resistance, but to really simplify it and give people a place to start, it can be the simple step of focusing on real whole foods and balanced meals, which we will discuss. So PCOS, the way I have learned it, and learned about it, is it is really rooted in metabolic function, and your insulin, your blood sugar levels is all a part of our metabolic function. A lot of us, like I said, are dealing with very poor metabolic function, aka our body doesn't know how to keep our blood sugar balanced. Signs and symptoms of blood sugar imbalance would be fatigue, poor mood, hormonal imbalances. You feel really shaky or cranky if you don't eat. You maybe at 3 to 4 p.m. have kind of an afternoon crash and need a little bit of sugar. That kind of shows that we're insulin resistant, and a lot of our population is. Again, it's nobody's fault, yourself, because we've talked about how kind of the food system doesn't give us much knowledge on how to eat healthy. But the good news, the light at the end of the tunnel in all of this, is if you focus on your diet, you can really improve your blood sugar balance, the way you feel, your insulin response, and then your hormonal imbalances, like something like PCOS. So that's the first biggest driver, insulin resistance. The second one is mitochondrial dysfunction. So we all learned about mitochondria in like literally seventh grade, but I did not retain any of that information. So I learned about it again and now it makes sense. Our mitochondria are the powerhouses of our cells and basically what gives our body energy to perform all interactions, whether that is digesting, synthesizing hormones, anything, having a baby, getting that ready in your body. mitochondria is basically just the basis of what we need to perform any interaction in our body, any chemical mechanism. So a lot of people have mitochondrial dysfunction. This means at the like lowest cellular level, your body is not fueled and getting nutrients, and so you have no energy. People with mitochondrial dysfunction just feel tapped out. You wake up, you don't feel rested. You have low energy during the day, no matter how many coffees you have or how many things you eat. And so this also plays into metabolic function, but one thing that we can do is really support our mitochondria, our cellular fuel, and that can help a lot of the times with balancing our metabolism, our insulin, and helping with things like PCOS. So how do we get this mitochondrial dysfunction? A lot of the times it's our diet. We are eating the standard American diet with processed foods and refined sugar. We also have kind of lost touch on how important minerals are. Minerals are the spark plugs to any interaction in our body, and they are what actually gives our cell energy. So a lot of the times when you're like, oh, I don't have energy, we think we'll have caffeine. Actually, something that can really help is having minerals, because that actually fuels your cells and your cells give you energy. So you don't need to skip the coffee, but I think it's just good to be reminded and get back to the root that if you want energy, minerals, vitamins, nutrients, rather than caffeine and stimulants is what is going to help your body long term. How are we going to stimulate our mitochondria? We're going to work on the diet, and then we are going to get cellular fuel, aka minerals, and I'll give you a bunch of mineral options when I give you kind of the PCOS toolkit. The third biggest driver in PCOS is just chronic inflammation. Chronic inflammation, we've talked about, is pretty much at the root of all diseases. When our body becomes chronically inflamed, our body can't digest, our hormones can't get produced, and it just creates a cascade of issues. How do we become inflamed? The first area is because of insulin resistance, because of poor diet. Another area is the toxins and chemicals that we put into our lives and we are surrounded with that causes inflammation. Another big area that I see that I work with is root cause. So a pathogen, this could be something like a parasite, heavy metals, or mold. They basically bog down your immune system and create a ton of inflammation that creates a cascade of issues that might be symptoms of PCOS. So reducing your body's inflammation is going to be huge and is a huge driver in PCOS if your body is chronically inflamed. The fourth biggest driver in PCOS and something that I want to talk about, and I'm not going to touch on this heavily because we explain in our birth control episodes the nitty-gritty on what birth control depletes, how it affects your body, etc. But hormonal birth control. The pill shuts off your natural hormone production. So then let's say we come off the birth control pill after 7 years, our body does not remember how to produce hormones. And so it feels a little bit wonky. And a lot of the times that's where the post-pill PCOS comes from, because our body's readjusting to 7 years of not doing a natural function, or however many years it is, as well as the pill is very mineral and nutrient depleting. I just mentioned how minerals give us cellular fuel and fuel our mitochondria. Our birth control is bogging down and hurting our mitochondria, aka it makes sense that we have no energy. And then we have our metabolic function off, and then we get PCOS type symptoms. The last thing about hormonal birth control is it can contain toxins and heavy metals and chemicals that give our body inflammation. And I just mentioned that chronic inflammation is a big driver in PCOS. So these are kind of the biggest areas that I see with my clients: insulin resistance, mitochondrial dysfunction, chronic inflammation, and then factoring in if they have been on hormonal birth control and how that might have affected their body. Before I give you the PCOS toolkit, I want to say a few things that I don't recommend for PCOS. One, a plant-based diet. I eat a plant-forward diet, meaning I eat a lot of plants. I love plants, but I think there is absolutely a time and a place for animal-based products. Why do I think that? Because animal-based products have a certain amino acid structure, aka protein, which I'm going to talk about is very important when you are working with hormonal imbalances, as well as minerals and nutrients that other things just do not have. animal-based foods, bone broth, beef liver, even dairy, have such amazing minerals and nutrients for our cells to feed our mitochondria. So I don't recommend a completely plant-based diet. Again, it's up to everybody. This is one of those things that it's like a take it or leave it. The other thing is intermittent fasting. If you have insulin resistance, mitochondrial dysfunction, and chronic inflammation, and you are a woman, this episode is specifically for women. I'm assuming that if a male has listened to this, he's probably gotten that by now. But intermittent fasting is a stressor on your body. In some situations, like cancer or certain chronic diseases, intermittent fasting has been shown to be helpful, a helpful stressor to the body. But when we're dealing with hormones, we really need to mitigate stress. So I don't recommend intermittent fasting for women dealing with PCOS. Next one is constant high intensity workouts. If you're going to Orange Theory, and that's just, I don't mean to target Orange Theory because I think it's a fun workout once in a while. But if you were doing like a really high intensity workout every single day and you're dealing with hormonal imbalances, another stress on the body. The last one is keto or an extremely low carb diet. Again, same thing as the ones above. This is causing a lot of stress in your body. And when we are stressed out, our hormones are not able to synthesize, to produce, to do their job for us. So those are a few of the things I don't recommend for PCOS. Now let's end this episode by talking about what do you do? Now that you know this information, you understand what PCOS is, the symptoms, and the biggest drivers, what can you do about it that is actionable? And that these are all things that you can do with yourself that you don't need to go and consult with a doctor or some type of practitioner about, most of them. Okay, so the first and the simplest one that is the easiest takeaway from this episode is your diet and your nutrition. You need to focus on eating real whole foods and creating balanced meals. There's two components to what I think is a healthy diet. There's the actual food you're eating, and then there is the way you are eating food. The actual food should be real, whole, unprocessed foods. We're getting rid of refined foods. We're getting rid of foods that have a bunch of junk in them, a lot of refined sugars, refined flours, etc. And then we are taking our real, whole, delicious foods, and we are eating them in a way that works for our body and our blood sugar best, and that is called a balanced meal. Let's talk about a balanced meal. And to rewind a second, our second episode ever of Wellness Digest is called WTF Should I Be Eating? And it goes over what a real whole food diet is and how to build a balanced meal. So if you want a deeper dive on this, please listen to that episode. It's our second episode in Wellness Digest Season 1. What is a balanced meal? So a balanced meal basically creates balanced blood sugar and proper insulin response, and insulin resistance is one of the biggest drivers of PCOS. Here's what a balanced meal is, and this was created by, I'm gonna like butcher her name right now, but Kelly Levesque. She has balanced smoothies, balanced meals. She wrote a whole book on this and has done a bunch of tests on your blood sugar and how this formula basically is the secret sauce to feeling good and stabilizing your body's insulin response. A balanced meal contains a fat, a protein, a fiber, and greens. I like to say greens and vegetables because I don't think you need greens at literally every meal. I just think you need a solid vegetable when applicable. I always say this to my clients. If you are eating like a yogurt or like an oatmeal, you don't want to put a thing of spinach with it. You don't want to put cauliflower with it. That's just not reasonable. So there are some one-offs where you're not going to have a green or veggie. But let's talk about the other categories really quickly. Fat. Fat is actually one of the building blocks for our hormones. A lot of people think low-fat diet is helpful. It's actually not. It's very detrimental to your hormones. So fats, these can be the oils you're cooking with, olive oil, avocado oil, ghee, grass-fed butter. You can also get fats from certain meats. You can get fats from avocados, from chia seeds, from flax seeds. Protein is something that women with hormonal imbalances really need to focus on because those amino acid structures are so vital to our hormone production. So up your protein, make sure you are having solid protein with each meal. I prefer, and again, this is my preference with my clients, people who can tolerate it, having animal-based product. Making sure you're having pasture-raised organic chicken, grass-fed steak or meat. Seafood, any type of animal product well-sourced is the best type of protein in my opinion. I also think collagen and gelatin can be amazing. That's the protein aspect. Fiber. I'm a big proponent of getting our fiber from our vegetables, things like cruciferous vegetables, even things like spinach or leafy greens. Those can be fiber as well, so that's how I get my fiber. And then the greens or veggie, that's self-explanatory. Any leafy green vegetable, we all know what's classified as a leafy green and a vegetable. That's another component. So every meal or snack that we have is going to have a fat, a fiber, a protein, and some type of greens if applicable. If you make sure that nothing enters your mouth unless it is in that formula and you have each of those components, your blood sugar within a short amount of time is going to feel so good that I almost promise you that you will notice differences in the way your body feels. A few other things I want to talk about on the diet aspect besides just what to eat and making sure you're always having balanced meals is a few tips that I've learned from Glucose Goddess. Go follow her on Instagram. She is absolutely amazing and does very fun hacks on how to balance your blood sugar. The first thing that she says is have no naked carbs. What a naked carb would be is, let's say, just a piece of bread or a granola bar or a bowl of oatmeal. That is a straight up carb that is going to cause a huge spike in your blood sugar. And with every up, there has to be a down. So you're going to have a huge drop down in your blood sugar. That time and time again repeated pattern is going to cause insulin resistance. So simply have a fat or a protein, implement that Fab Four, fat, protein, fiber, and greens into each of your meals. This means if you want a clean granola bar, which there really isn't a clean, there maybe is a clean granola bar out there, but I don't think granola bars are great. I'm just going to put that out into the world. Let's say you have a granola bar. You really want your granola bar in the morning. Also, maybe have an egg and a piece of sausage, or have some yogurt, coconut yogurt or raw milk yogurt, and some chia seeds and a scoop of almond butter, maybe a scoop of collagen mixed in there. Making sure every time you want a naked carb, whether that's a bowl of oatmeal or granola bar, you are having either a fat, a protein, or preferably both with it, so your insulin can respond better and your blood sugar can be balanced. This next hack I have implemented, and implemented this with every single one of my clients, is to use vinegar in your diet heavily. Use it when you're cooking, use it in your food, but also a little hack that you can implement is with every meal, when you can do this, have a half shot of apple cider vinegar diluted with water. You dilute it to your taste. I like mine strong, but drinking this before or during each meal has been linked and shown to decrease your blood sugar spike by 40%. That is like absolutely insane, 40%. So you could be doing the simple trick of having some apple cider vinegar and water before or during your meal and literally mitigate 40% of damage to your metabolic function and to your insulin response. So implement that trick. That's a super easy hack. That's the balanced meals and real whole food. That's the diet portion of how you can deal with PCOS. The next thing is to feed your mitochondria and implement minerals. Minerals are important. They're not super talked about in like the health and wellness girly space, but they are so important for your body. And here are a few ways to get more minerals because it's pretty easy. One, how to feed your mitochondria. Here are three things that are great for your mitochondria: leafy greens, dark chocolate, grass-fed meats. Amazing for your mitochondria. In regards to minerals, fulvic and humic acid are the best to literally shoot straight into your cells and your mitochondria and give them fuel. I have a few of my favorite products that I can link. Zuma has one, Cellcor has one. We'll list some in the show notes. But there's a lot of ways to get fulvic and humic acid. You should be taking it every single day. The next way is an adrenal cocktail. I have a recipe on my Instagram. It is an amazing concoction of different nutrients and minerals that are great for your hormones. Some foods: oysters, wild-caught salmon, egg yolks, mushrooms, coconut water, aloe juice, bone broth, seaweed snacks. All ways to get minerals. So just be mindful. Have some yummy mineral snacks. Have a glass of bone broth a day. Get a dropper of fulvic and humic acid, add it into your water. Add a pinch of sea salt into your water in the morning with a squeeze of lemon juice. It can be really simple things, but just make sure you're getting minerals in your diet. That's how you're going to feed your mitochondria. Next one is find the root cause of chronic inflammation. your body did not wake up on a Tuesday morning and say, hey, I want to give Olivia all these PCOS symptoms, crash her hormones, and make her digestion off. That's not how our bodies work. Our bodies want to feel good and work for us. So this is why Tatum and I always emphasize there's a root cause. There is something. You can peel away the layers of the onion. Think of your body as the onion. And at the very base, there could be a handful or a few things that are causing all of this chronic inflammation. Let's say you have a root cause of parasites. You can implement a balanced meal and feed your body all these minerals, but you still haven't gotten rid of the root cause, so your body still can't fully heal from these symptoms. So if you don't remove the stressor, your body won't be balanced. How do we find this out? There's different testing for any type of thing. You can get a GI map to see if you have parasites. You can get a Dutch test to see how your hormones are doing. You can get a heavy metal test, a mold test, a Lyme test. I personally don't think the tests are always important. You can just go through a root cause protocol. Again, this is something you have to work with for a practitioner. And in one of our recent episodes, we named a few kind of free resources and people to follow on Instagram that talk a lot about root causes. Dr. Jabin Moore is one of them that's amazing. Dr. Jess MD and then Emily Morrow are all people who talk about root causes and can give you more free information on them. But when a client comes to me with PCOS, I say, okay, let's get your drainage pathways open. We have an episode on this. And then we go into parasites, metals and mold, and whatever else they need. And that is going to remove the stressor of the chronic inflammation if you already have the diet down and you're giving your body minerals. So finding the root cause, no matter what your chronic health issue is always going to be the most important to me, because we need to figure out at the root what is causing this dysfunction. The next one is supporting your stress levels emotionally, mentally, and physically. Blood sugar imbalance stresses the body out. So if we're eating a diet that's highly refined processed foods, your body is going to be stressed out. When our body is stressed out, it eats up all of our minerals and nutrients. When you don't have minerals and nutrients, you can't be cellularly hydrated. When you're not cellularly hydrated, your mitochondria aren't working. You probably get like the sequence I'm going in that leads to chronic inflammation, stress in the body, hormones cannot work properly. So eating an unhealthy diet is not going to help your blood sugar levels or your PCOS symptoms. Another area that we touch on and we have episodes on is life and emotional stressors. I cannot say how important this is. Doing the deep work on yourself, on emotions and trauma you may be storing is important. Here are a few things we do in our modern day in life that stresses out our body. Constant phone usage, blue light at night, poor sleep cycles, drama, gossip, news. I don't think we realize, but watching the news and all of the BS that's happening, constantly feeding into drama and talking about the negative things that are happening in our life, that stresses your body and your emotional state out. Working out super hard, fasting, skipping breakfast, having lots of coffee, not taking time to relax, which boy am I guilty about, because I am just like I'm in go mode constantly, that stresses your body and your hormones out. So support your stress levels, whatever that means for you. Last thing before I give you some herbs and talk about estrogen is you need to rejuvenate the liver. Our liver is our master detox organ and a huge part of our hormone recycling. Let me tell you a little bit about the liver without being too sciencey. The liver is responsible for breaking down any toxins or hormones that need to be recycled. Phase one is breaking them down. And phase two is packaging them up and excreting them through the body, through you pooping, through you peeing, etc. The liver metabolizes, activates, and sends hormones into your bloodstream. The liver also secretes bile, which is how we break down fats. If this bile becomes stagnant, our liver can get clogged and not perform its functions. So we want to make sure, one, our liver is able to filter and recycle and process these hormones. And two, we want to make sure we are getting proper bile secretion and processing so our liver can function correctly. All in all, because that was a little sciencey, now that I'm thinking back on that, we just need to make sure we're giving our liver love. Straight up, give your liver love. How can you do this? Support phase one and phase two detox. Greens and chlorophyll, a great thing to eat to help your liver. Having root vegetables, grass-fed beef liver supplements. I prefer the Perfect Supplements desiccated beef liver. Coconut water, oysters, citrus, bone broth, grass-fed beef, gelatin, nutrient-dense proteins. This can also be things like having teas like milk thistle, licorice root, dandelion tea. Those are all going to help with phase one and phase two detox of your liver. How are you going to support that bioflow I just talked about? Eat beets, have dandelion tea, digestive bitters, the apple cider vinegar trip I talked about, and then some supplements are beta TCP, liver sauce, Tudka, and then a liver and gallbladder complex. When I'm working with somebody to rejuvenate the liver, I'm also going to make sure that they are going to the bathroom consistently to eliminate these toxins, and then taking a binder to bind up any excess toxins. So the liver is important. Eat liver healthy foods, take liver healthy supplements, drink liver healthy teas. It's going to help with stagnation in your hormones, and so your body can just really process all of the toxins and chemicals it needs to and decrease your stress load. One thing that I like to talk about is supporting healthy estrogen levels, because a lot of women who experience PCOS also experience estrogen dominance. So estrogen is the hormone that helps us feel really good. It helps us be fertile, keep our libido up, have great mood. It's kind of that hormone that like makes us feel glowy. When our hormones become imbalanced and estrogen becomes dominant, we can swing towards some of these PCOS symptoms. The only way to get excess estrogen out of our body is through the liver and our drainage pathways. Here are some foods that you can eat that are estrogen clearing foods. Raw carrot salad, posted this on my Instagram. Bamboo shoots, broccoli sprouts, mushrooms, turmeric, and cooked greens. Those are just a few. You can look up more, but those are estrogen clearing foods. That is going to be important when you're dealing with PCOS and if you have an estrogen dominance, because you need to help your body get this excess estrogen out of your body so you can have hormonal balance and your progesterone to estrogen levels can be balanced. The last thing I want to leave you with, because Tatum and I love herbs, is what herbs can you take for PCOS? And I learned all of these from Aviva Ram. She is a doctor and she has great resources for women with PCOS. No one supplement, I just want to keep it real, is going to cure your PCOS. If somebody's saying take birth control for your PCOS or take this magic supplement, that's bullshit, to be completely honest. As you can see, PCOS is multifaceted and very complex. So taking one supplement is not going to cure your PCOS, unfortunately. But if you take a holistic root cause and multifaceted approach, hitting it with all these different levels, rejuvenating your liver, having minerals, eating real whole foods, and then looking at a root cause, you're going to be able to help these symptoms and hopefully not deal with this anymore. So just wanted to point out, one supplement isn't going to cure you, especially if it's birth control. That's probably just going to add to the issue. Here's some herbs that you can take. Mix these into a tea, buy them in a tea form, buy them in a pill form, you do you. White peony, maitake mushroom is a great supplement. Spearmint tea, Vitex. I personally make an estrogen clearing tea that I drink, and this is a tea that I don't drink when I'm on my period, but I drink every other day. It is spearmint, Vitex, hibiscus, and licorice root. It tastes amazing. It's great for hormonal levels, great for PCOS and estrogen dominant symptoms. So, quick recap. If you come to me and you say, Liv, I have PCOS, what do I do? I'm going to say, one, let's look at a root cause. Let's see if parasites, mold, or metals could be at play. Let's balance your meals and let's get you eating real whole foods. Let's implement this apple cider vinegar shot trick. Let's up your minerals. How are your stress levels doing? And how can we support your liver? That is what I'm going to tell you if you come to me with PCOS, and then we're going to implement some fun estrogen clearing foods like a raw carrot salad 3 to 5 times a week. Maybe we'll make a tea as well for your mornings. I hope that was helpful. I think that this can be a great place to start without having to go to a doctor and have them tell you something. You can really just look at this and start on your own, because this is mainly food based. If you have any questions, DM me on Instagram and I can help navigate you on these things. We'll link any of the supplements I talked about, but I hope this was helpful. I understand how hard it can be to be dealing with a PCOS diagnosis or symptoms, so we are here for you, and I hope this episode was helpful, and stay tuned for Tatum's Hotline episode next week.